If someone told you there's a country of 18 million people and there are 1,000 Christians, and the 1,000 Christians are under attack, and there's just one church building in the entire country, it is sometimes you. So when you hear Christians mention, there are too many churches in Nigeria. From here to here, there's a church. You don't know what you have. I said it some years ago. I said, we'd rather have more churches than mosques. We'd rather have more churches than shrines. We'd rather have more churches. Amen. You have just one cathedral in the entire country. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's three men, right? So we had an assignment, a very simple assignment last week. It was to go through the book of 1 Corinthians. So how many of us did that? Let me see. Hands up. That's impressive. All right. You can put your hands down. Chapter 2. So last week we were just looking at backgrounds. So today we'll lay for other foundations. It's a teaching that could take us. I remember reading E.W. Kenyon's book, Paul's Three Men, some years ago. It's been a while, right? It's over 15 years I read it. Pastor Chris Okoti also preached it, and then Pastor Chris Onoinga. A very, very amazing way of looking at the scriptures. Especially Pastor Chris Onoinga's. Call it a little bias, it's fine. But we're looking at Paul's Three Men. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You know, and he said, before you can start running with this verse and say, oh, what God wants to do in my life, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. We said we need to look at the meaning of scriptures. Every verse, every statement made in the scriptures was made by someone. And when the statements are made, they have their purpose. The purpose of a statement does not change because of your own need. A Bible verse does not suddenly transform its meaning because of you. Are you listening to me? So you need to ask the golden question, what does this mean? Don't forget, Paul already, we're familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, where it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for what? Teaching. Doctrine, right? So, the Bible already has its own purpose. Like I say, it's a book with a bias. You don't read a chemistry textbook and you want to find out inflation. Inflation of what? Hydrogen? of gas. You want to find out about tax reforms. And you're looking at Okeke. Or Anyakoa. Is it Anyakoa now? Ayakoa, can't forget those books. You can't find tax reform in Ayakoa. Ayakoa himself probably does not even know anything about tax reforms. Because the book comes with a bias. It's a physics textbook. If you're in medical school, you go get Kate Moore. Or you get Last. I prefer Last. Kate Moore is voluminous. The goal was to pass the exam, amen? So I went to Julegba. In fact, I bought a fake Last. Later, I found out it was fake, but I passed the exam. By the time I found out it was a fake Last Anatomy, it was about boys that made that one last. The book did not last. The name is Last Anatomy, but it did not last. You know, so Kate Moore is this big. Last is like this. So Last does this summary. If you're going to write a very interesting exam, you go read Kate Moore. You go use your Kate Moore and your Atlas. If you're going to use Last, you come last. Amen. You know, if you pick up your anatomy textbook as a medical student or whatever textbook, clean path, whatever, and you take it and you take the book and you're looking for how to start a business, if someone sees you, what would they call you? In all fairness, kolomenta, right? That is, you're taking the wrong book. And that's the way it is when you take the Bible and you say, you want to teach how to prosper in life. The book never came with the intention of teaching you how to prosper. We had an hangout in church some time ago. Is it some time ago? So I just cloud the time. Find out the time ago. And I was talking about finances, for example. And I said, you were there. Did I mention any Bible verse on how to grow your finances? Because you don't need a Bible verse. The only Bible verse you need is, be honest and don't steal. Ephesians 4. Apart from don't steal, there is no business advice in the Bible. Bible is not going to tell you how to recruit. You just say, watch out for eye service. You can learn, oh, you can learn from Ahithophel David, Jonathan David, you know, you can learn from different things, call it leadership examples, fine. But the Bible did not set out to teach you those things. It's the reason why, if I'm teaching the marriage, or the subject of marriage, I don't go to Adam and Eve. Why? Why would you go to Adam and Eve? That's even a bad example of marriage. Because they didn't marry. He just woke up one day and said, okay, my bone of my bone. Is that what you did to your wife? You just woke up and said, my bone or my bone? He said, you and who? My tendon idea. Eve did not do introduction. Did not do Ashoebi Bella, Niger. So, that compare? Is it Ashoebi Bella, Niger? He said, you don't like, you don't know. I saw you that time. You were looking at those pages. Is it Ashoebi Bella, Niger? Or which one? There's Bella, Niger. There's Ashoebi. Okay. It's something that's not like, you know. I mean, I caught you now. Amen. You know, Eve did not do that. She just woke up and she had an husband. A husband, rather. So, you going to Adam and Eve to teach. They didn't have courtship. So, the anatomy of your teaching is already flawed. The Bible has a purpose. We need to find out every single syllable. Who is he talking to? What is he saying? So, growth in God's word is not overnight. It's done painstakingly. So before you now say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what God wants to do in my life. No. It's not about your greatness. Oh, you will be great. Amen. But it's not about your greatness. It's about what God, the testimony God wants to give. Eyes have not seen. No. Again, we will see what it means. So, you've got to be able to explain your faith. Now, we have Christians who can explain Telemundo. They can explain Korean movie. Opa. Sombe. Which other one? Prophet, I say prophet. Bro, David. You are smiling now. So I figured out that, Sombe. Which one is the one that, okay, India. Last week we prayed for India. Hope as you are watching the movies, you are praying for them too. Amen. As I mean, if you say they are under persecution, go on, they face them. You know all of that. You know football very well. You know Chelsea is a fake club. You know all of that. You know that Man City is a high club. They just bought them, you know, very fake success. You know all of that. You know that there are just a few genuine clubs. I think Arsenal and Liverpool, basically. Man U have been cheating since time immemorial. You know all of that. That Arsenal is historically one of the greatest clubs in the world. Amen. Amen. Church, can I have an amen? Amen? Good. You know all of that. But can you explain your faith? It's painstakingly done. Let me say that. When you say, this is my Bible, I know what it says. That statement is a product of years. It's not a product of one seminar. Someone reached out to me earlier this week. I was on Monday. Is that Monday evening or Tuesday morning? I said that I should organize a Bible seminar, you know, for theology on how to interpret scriptures and all that. As much as I would love to do that, I am not called yet. I've not yet that kind of call to gather Christians and start teaching them how to interpret their Bibles. You have a pastor. Go to your pastor. Amen. Attend church. Amen. Why are you running a etasketa to look for where they are teaching how to interpret the Bible? Don't you have a church? So I told him, I said, you have a church. You've got a pastor. Meet him. But I understand. And one of the things I told him, I said, even if I gather you and we do a whole day, fine, you might learn the basics on how to interpret scriptures and how to read the scriptures. But it's not done in one day. I was talking to a pastor. He sees me as a mentor. He pastors in Ikorodu. But I'm not his mentor, definitely. I'm nobody's mentor. I'm nobody's father. I'm nobody's son. But I'm just myself, amen. That's his son. Maybe son. I mean son. But I'm nobody's father. I'm nobody's uncle. I'm nobody. I will recognize my son when I see him. Amen. So he said, thank you for those years of King Daniel prophets and all of that. So he said, now I think I have a very solid ground on hermeneutics, theology, eschatology. So I just said, okay, let me test your solid ground. So I dropped a question from Jude. I just dropped a question. Jude is just one chapter. It's not even called chapter one, it's just called Jude. So I dropped a question from what Sabina called me. Say, I said, don't you have a solid ground? Amen. What I'm just telling you is it takes years. Hallelujah. There are questions you drop for me too now. I will start sweating under AC because it takes years. Are you listening to me? So don't be in a hurry to say, oh, this is what the Bible, this is what this place means. You need to find out. And when you are taught, I told you part of learning is unlearning. I'm going to quote the president of Nigeria. There's a quote I like. There's a statement he made some years ago during the campaign, and I just took it. He said, if you want an omelette, you have to break the egg. How many of you have read that quote before? Okay, yeah. So, because good things come from pain. You break the egg, the precious egg you're looking at. You break it because you want an omelette. Growth in Christian faith is not automatic. It's not overnight. We have Christians who don't listen to tapes. They don't read their Bibles. They don't do study group. It's the group that is studying them. The entire group is waiting for your own assignment alone for review. Then I say, I'm not growing. Growth, break the egg. Amen. So, where are we now? Joshua will say, meditate. Meditate. Your mind is a big part of your spiritual growth. So we are in 1 Corinthians 2:9. So he said, as is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And we have looked at that, Abby. We start to investigate eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear, and minds that don't conceive God's plan. What ears? Is it your own? So when he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not yet heard, now as it comes to the heart of man, is it you? It would be a very wrong thing to say, that's me. Ah, no. You need to find out because you know his plan. You work in his plan. You are a part of his plan. You get it? Your eyes have seen God's glory. You know what Jesus told them? He said, I will send you the comforter whom the world cannot receive because they see him not. But you see him. You know him. That's what he said in John chapter 16. He said, but you see him, you know him because he is with you and shall be in you. So, your reality is not eyes have not seen. Your reality is my eyes have seen the glory of God. Amen? Your conversion has to change from, eyes have not seen what God wants to do for me. Abba. Of course, I understand the context in which people use it. That's why I believe that people understand scriptures. Let's talk. I believe people understand. The issue is that they cherry pick which one they want to use. Because I've not seen people do eye for an eye. Everybody understands Exodus 21. The eye for an eye means revenge. It doesn't necessarily not mean that I will remove your eyes. So we understand that that means figure of speech. Your Bible says majejue. Majejue is not a Greek word. Jejue used 361 times. Jejue means in literal pidgin English. I'll chop your eye. Amen. Like it's on the menu. I'll take your eye, I'll serve it. It's an eye for an eye. So, but when we use an eye for an eye, nobody's bringing out a knife. That means we understand that scripture. But suddenly, it gets to some other places, and then we start twisting it. I can do all things through Christ. That's strengthening me. You mean all things? Yes, all things. There's nothing I can do. Oh, that means you can steal through Christ that strengthens you. He said, no, not like stealing. Then that means it's not all things. Yeah, you are twisting it. No, you are twisting it. You are not bothering to find out what the all things that Paul said he can do. Philippians 4, right? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And he was talking about, he was in lack. Don't forget, the church in Philippi were under persecution. That was why he kept writing to them, joyful, joyful, rejoice again, I say unto rejoice. Under persecution, there was famine, they were killing them. And so Paul comes in and says, right now, I'm also not as buoyant financially. I'm going through stuff. He says, but forget all of these things. My God is able to supply your need. That's verse 12. According to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he says, you know what? I can do all things. I've learned to abase. I've learned to abound. Abound means when things are plenty, I know how to jaye. Jaye is not a Greek word. Jaye means I know how to enjoy. Then he says, when things are not as good, I also know how to adapt. I can do all these things because Christ strengthens me in plenty and he strengthens me in lack. So when he says I can do all things, he was talking about how you undo persecution and abundance. Because you can't really do everything. How many things can you do actually? I can do all things. You that you cannot change views. I can do all things. You can't ungen. I can do all things. I can do all things. Don't feel exam. So what are your all things now? Yeah? So you need to find out. All things are yours. All things are yours in Christ. You. All things. So why are you fighting for the boss? Why are you fighting at Okwebi? It's my time. I came here before you. I thought all things are yours. Why don't you just tell the driver? Down. See why? And I trust because the driver. Should he help me? All things in my. Then support you with small tongues. Yes, just use tongues for backup. Not to shut up. Get out. They will beat. Where church? We have welfare team. Senyola and our team, they will come and meet you. Pele, all things are yours. Beating is yours. He said, you bring all things to your remembrance. You need to ask all things. Every time you see all things, read the context. There is nothing in the Bible that is actually all. He says salvation is for all. It means if you believe, oh. You just read around, you ask God. It's for everybody that believes. Even though it's given to all to receive, but is everybody saved? No. You bring all things to your remembrance. You were told carry. You didn't read. Let's assume you are running semester. A semester is how many months? How many months? Sorry, I can't remember. There's no way I can remember. Eh? Because I could not wait to get out of school. You can't think, I don't think I remember how many months. 3 months. 4 months. Okay. I know some schools do 3 months, covenants and all. You not claim, oh, quickly finish school. And they don't know anything. Amen. It's time to see if you didn't finish from covenant. Covenant people. If you put schools. I see accept photo. This is the first time I've accepted. Because I want to bash Futa. There has to be an enemy. Opposition. Opposition part coalition. We are doing coalition now. You know? So a semester is 4 months. You didn't read anything. You didn't go through your books. Then suddenly 1 week semester, when you're collecting exam bedroom, Gary and all, now say, he brings all things to our remembrance. You are a graduate. All things to your remembrance. Only. So the people that have been reading, what should happen to them? Even say remembrance. Maybe it's if you read something that you remember.
Alright.
So, we began to look at 1 Corinthians 2. Please go there. So we started from chapter 1. Like I said, you need to read the entire 1 Corinthians so that you understand what Paul is saying. I think if you read the entire book now, I mean, you got the entire picture straight up. You just marry chapter 1 straight till 11 to 12 to, you will now discover Paul's 1 Corinthians 13 when he was talking about love. You now, were you able to merge it? Eh? How many of you read it at a go? Good. Because that would have been the best way to do it. Because when you break it, you forget what the house of Chloe said. You just see there are divisions among you. Ah, from where? Well, from where? It's okay. No, the house of Chloe reported. Amen. Alright. So we got to look at chapter one, Paul started talking about how there were contentions among them, some were saying I'm of Paul, some were saying I'm of Apollos, and he quickly changed that up. He said, you don't have to do that. The wisdom of God came to you through us. We are not the wisdom. It came to you through us. Is it making sense? That's why in chapter 2, he said, when I came to you, did I come with excellency of man's wisdom and speech? No. I came with the spirit's power, right? Aha. Uh-huh. So, again, we said the context of chapter 1 would be the wisdom of God versus the foolishness of God versus the wisdom of man, right? When I said, "Amen," Reddit, everybody's hands were up. So, we said the argument of chapter 1 was the foolishness of God, which was the sarcasm, right? Because God is not foolish, right? But it says the word we call the wisdom of God, foolish. Right? The word we call what God has planned, foolish. So, it says the wisdom of God versus the foolishness of God, rather, versus the wisdom of man. He calls the gospel to the Jews, to the Greeks, foolish. Foolishness. To the Jews, a stumbling block. Right? Right? Aha. So then he began to build his argument. Till he now got to, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has in mind. That is, the plan of God are too grand for the natural man. So let's read on. That's why in verse 8 of chapter 2, he says, if the prince of this world knew, if the plan of God was as straightforward, they would not have crucified Jesus. Why? Because what the world was expecting as a Messiah. Listen, look up. So, God promised a savior right from Adam. And, oh my God. We are far beyond. So, God promised a savior right from time. Israel were expecting the Messiah. If someone told you that someone will come and rescue Nigeria, Nigeria is not in under any serious thing. But let's say someone come and rescue Nigeria. Say, or Somalia now. And then you'd be expecting someone that would be, right? A military person that nobody can kill, is immortal. If you slap him, Odaron, because he doesn't even have to touch you, just look at you. And you're gone, you just melt. You know, that's the kind of savior I'll be expecting. A savior that if he lands in your local government, everybody knows, there's no need, he's around. No, the ground will shake. If he needs food, he just does like this. And food will land. And he eats. If you go and meet him, he can feed you. Jesus did that one. At that point, you know, they were saying, evermore give us this bread. Like, you are looking like Messiah. You are looking like Messiah, but you are too frail. Until they caught him. They arrested him. They were beating Jesus. They said, you cannot be Messiah. How are you beating the savior? This one needs saving. So, the wisdom of God started looking like the foolishness of man. Is it making sense? Alright. So, again. So, what has eyes not seen and ears not heard and has not come to the mind of man? God's wisdom. God's wisdom for salvation. But let's read on. In verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, for you to know that it's not, in verse 10, say God has revealed it to us. So, again, what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, as it comes to the mind of man, God has revealed to us. So, it's not a mystery. God has revealed to us. So, if you have believed the gospel, you have the revelation. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So we say, what are the deep things of God? Before we start remanalizing everything. What are the deep things of God? The wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? The gospel. In plainness of speech, man. For what? Verse 11 now. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man? So the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which means we also speak, not in the words, with man's wisdom. And that is about man's wisdom versus God's plan. Which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing or judging spiritual things with the spiritual man. But the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is the judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may teach the Lord. That he may teach people the Lord. But we have the mind of Christ. So, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. So, we mentioned Paul's three men. Let's just start like that. The what? The natural man. The spiritual man. The carnal man. If you are the carnal man, can you wave at all of us? How do you know who the carnal man is? Oh, yeah, you have some church, okay. If you are the spiritual man, so the natural man. Oh, okay. All right. So, why would Paul distinguish humanity? How many of you know this song? The greatest entertainer of all time, Michael Jackson. We all agree on that one, right? All right, good. You don't agree? Okay. We all agree on that one. Michael Jackson, greatest entertainer of all time. We are the world. So I used to like the song. In fact, all the time I wanted to teach in church, that the children choir sing. So, because there's a verse that says, we are all children of God. That song. You know what I did? Like we're all children of the Most High, something like that. So I feel, gospel is here now. You know, everything sounds like gospel to you until you're born again. I remember I got someone said on campus, that's like 2 months ago. Every time I would just catch him and say, so you're born again. You know, he's just very ridiculous guy. So, I wanted to, you know, I felt it was the gospel, because we are all children of God. But, the Bible has always made a distinction between humanity. Let's lay foundation before we're now going to post three men properly. There has always been a distinction in humanity. Even in Genesis, you know, in verse 26, chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our image, Adam, or Adama, in the Septuagint. Let us make man in our image, in our own likeness. And in verse 27, it says, and God made man, male and female, he made them. So, there's a distinction now. Male and female. Zakar. That's a male. Z-A-K-A-R. That's the Hebrew. And Negeber, the female. N-E-G-E-B-E-H. Zakar. Male and female. So, before you say, oh, humanity is the same. You say, male and female. So, we already start seeing a distinction in humanity. Right from Genesis. But look at Psalm 2. The book of Psalm. So, Paul had three men that he spoke about. Studies like this are not, they are not as straightforward as exhortational teachings. Quenching of the Spirit, that's exhortational. This is study. So, I've taken a break from the use of Greek words for a while. If you have noticed, but I might have to go back very soon. Because I have some teachings that we need to lay very solid foundations. Solid. Psalm 2 verse 1. Why do the Ethiopians rage? Why do the people imagine vain things? Or imagine a vain thing. Why do the Ethan rage? The word Ethan is the word Goy. G-O-Y. And he was talking about non-Jews. Non-Jews. People who do not have a covenant with God through Abraham. So, in the Bible, there are two nations. Gentile nation and the Jews. Which one is Nigeria? Eh? So, why did I say Gentile? The Gentiles shall come to the light of my rising. You say Gentile. Gentile means you are not a Jew. I know some folks have misused that for, and they say, you're a Jew man, and they're talking about cultic stuff. But let's talk about, we're talking Bible, amen. Yeah. But anyway, sound like you had a mic. Amen, say amen again, amen. I know you changed it. Amen. Alright, so. There are two nations, the Gentile nation and the Jewish nation. Jewish nation are the children of Abraham. We're going to get there. The children of Abraham. But the Gentile nations are every other nation that don't have covenant with God through Abraham. Is it making sense? I said, why do the Ethan rage? So that means there's already a distinction in humanity. There is the Ethan. Why do the people, the word people is there is the word Leon, L-E-O-N. In the Hebrew, L-E-O-N, 561 times. Still the same thing, non-Jews. You find it used in Psalm 147 verse 1. Where it says, let the people clap. And he was talking about non-Jews. It's almost mockery. He says, but let's leave that one. It's mockery. So clap was used for by non-Jews to mock. Yeah. So there's always been a classification in humanity. Look at Romans 4. So you see people, things like Ethan, the Gentiles. So when Paul comes with his own classification, it is not a strange doctrine. Why am I going through this way? I've heard someone argue against this and say, humanity is one. That there's no distinction in humanity. That what Paul did was heretic. On the surface, you are not seeing it, but I know where it's coming from. And that's why we are going through this. That in all scriptures, there's always been a classification, a distinction in humanity. There's always been that classification. That this is this. We're going to see it from the mouth of Jesus himself. So when Paul comes with his own three men, it is not heresy. Does it make sense? Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertains to the flesh, has found? Abraham our father. The same word you find in Hebrews 1:1. Right? God was sundry times and in diverse manner spoken unto the fathers by the prophets. So again, there are some people who had Abraham as their father. That's not you. Is it you? You don't know your father. Abraham come from Ogun State. Or from, you're from Calabar. Akwa Ibom. Oh, is it Stadora? That's from across River Calabar. Did Abraham come from Akwa Ibom? Oh, from Imo. If from Imo, they were giving Abraham a beer. Yeah, where's Imo State? Where I went to, I'm not judging the test. I went, oh, the hotel, the number of hotels I saw. Ah! Then they beat the hotel. Like, each hotel, you were following each other. This one is not competition, okay? Could you not stop at the third person? This one, I say, people are lodging here. Very nice place. Amen. If Abraham was there, he would have more than Agar. They would give him Agar, Pega. Alright, I practiced that. He didn't laugh. Now laugh. I usually practice Agar, Pega. I am not funny. Alright, that's fine. So, again, Abraham, our father. So, there's a distinction in humanity. And that's why the law of Moses was not given to the Gentiles. Was given to Israel. Now, even when you now start looking at the Jewish nation, that says they have a covenant with God through Abraham. But Ishmael was also the son of Abraham. But Ishmael is not considered the seed of Abraham. So, even in Abraham, there's a distinction in humanity. Ishmael, Isaac. In Isaac shall your seed be called, not in Ishmael. Ishmael will be a strange nation. Is it making sense? So, the distinction in humanity did not start with Paul. Paul is not the one that will first say, there's a natural man, and there's a spiritual man, and there's a carnal man. No. Moses already distinguished with Ishmael and Isaac. He did it with Jacob and Esau. Genesis 25. I learned something. So, this has to build proper theological argument. So that someone doesn't come and say, well, there's a Calvinist theory that opposes the fact that everybody is the same in the eyes of God. And they use, we are all children of God. Humanity generally. But both Ishmael and Isaac are also children of Abraham. Yet, there's a distinction. Both Jacob and Esau were children of Isaac. Yet, there's a distinction. That means we can be in the same solar system, planet, family, street, and there's a distinction in our life. There's a distinction in our label. We are not all children of God. The children of God are by faith in Christ. John 1:12. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them powers to be what? The children of God, the sons of God. John 1:12 and 13. Even to them that believe in his name. So, the whole of humanity is not the children of God. Genesis 25. Are you there? Okay, verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb. Two nations. Two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. So again, is there a distinction in humanity? Yeah? Yeah. Two nations. So, while they are of the same father, the same mother, in fact, they are not just siblings, they are twins. Ejire, Ejima, which other, what do Igbos call Ejima? Good. Yeah, you ask Ejire. What do you call them? Twins. Don't be not the key twins that time. Okay, it's Calabar, Calabar. Okay, maybe let's all stop the killing of twins in Calabar. In Calabar, now. You are still the same thing in Calabar, Uyo. So, Jacob and Esau are twins, and yet God says, two nations, two different people, two manner of people. So there's a distinction in humanity. Types of people, nations. Symbolic. Jacob and Esau will be symbolic of eventually what is going to happen with God's salvation plan. That means with God's salvation plan, there will be two manners of people. Same parents, but a picture of classification in humanity. Same father, same mother, but not the same father. Same father, same mother, but not the same father. You get that? Isaac is their father. Adam gave birth to Cain and Abel. Same father, Adam. Yet, John will say, Cain was of the wicked one. Not the same father again. So again, even though you have two children of the same parents, there was a classification in humanity. That is, Cain is of the evil one, Abel, the righteous. Is it making sense? So it didn't start with Paul. That Paul now said, oh, there's a natural man. And then there's a spiritual man. No. It has always been in humanity that there is a nation that belongs to God, and there is a nation that is of the world. Jesus used the word world a lot. Look at Matthew 10. Are you learning something? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Teachers like the, some of them, you have to listen in years' time, and then you now, this is what Pastor was saying. But I think you can actually grab it now. Matthew 10. Look at verse 5. Please look at your Bibles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into the city, into any of the city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he mentioned three kinds of people. Jesus is three men. He says, don't go to the Gentiles. Then he says, don't go to the Samaritans. Right? But go to the what? House of Israel. Distinction. Who are the Samaritans? How do I explain? So you remember that Moses told Israel that don't marry away from Israel. Remember? Remember, Abby? Good. Some people married away from Israel. The mixed breeds are the ones called Samaritans. You get it now? You get it now? The mix of Israel, and I think the Assyrians, are the ones that now gave to Samaritans. That's going to come in handy very soon. Maybe not today. So, Samaritans, they are Israel, but not Israel, Israel. Not all Israel are Israel. You get that kind of thing? Uh-huh. They are Israel, but they are not Israel. How do you get what I just said now? Eh? Good. So, Jesus made a decision. Don't go to the Gentiles. They say, there are some that are Gentiles, but they are not Gentiles because they have the blood of Abraham too. They are Samaritans. Don't go to them too. Go to Israel. Three nations. In John 4, let's hear from Jesus himself. So we are looking at the decision of humanity, right? Alright. So that's our apologia. Our defense for Paul, right? So this is in defense of Paul, of Paul's three men. This is in defense of Paul's three men. Agreed. Will you say the Samaritans are Paul's Canaan men? Okay. I'm putting something out for us to think about. John 4. Don't forget, John 4, Jesus was going, he was hungry, he sent his disciples to eat. To get something to eat. And of course, you know, they will run. So they ran, get something. Jesus saw his damsel by the well. Amen. So if you're looking for a wife, go to the well. Find a bowl. Find a bowl, find something. Just, I know Brother Mola saw his time, is by the well. By the well of salvation. Amen. I say no further. Damola, see me after the service. Alright, so, and then Jesus told that in verse 7, give me water to drink. And then they started a conversation. Look at what the woman said. Verse 9. The woman said of Samaria, said unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask of a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Literally, we have dealings because you married us yet. The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if you know the gift of God, and he was asking you for him to give you water. You'd have given him, and I've given you living water. Then the woman said in verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob? So she knew Jacob as a father. Tell her. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it, he and his children and his cattle? Observe what Jesus now said in verse, the woman, verse 19 says, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. You say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto a woman, believe me, the hour cometh that you neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You know not what you worship. For salvation is of the Jews. So, a distinction. You know not what you worship. There's a people who know what they worship because the Savior came from the Jews. Is it making sense? So, Jesus himself made a distinction in their humanity. We see it. Look at John 10. That before we go to John 10, just go to John 3. If we are opening Bible too much, that's because you are in church. Amen. So when you are in church, you tend to open Bible a lot. If you don't open Bible a lot, you might not be in church. Can I have an amen? At John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, chapter 1. He's not past meeting, so come. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher from God, and no man can do these miracles except God is with him. And Jesus said unto you, verily I say unto you, be born again. He said, you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Some say, you can see, but you cannot enter. It's fine. Nicodemus said unto him, how can I be born the second time? Will I go back to my mother's womb and be born? Can we read verse 5 and verse 6 together, everybody? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So, is that a distinction in humanity? Huh? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Jesus is natural man now. Huh? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So, there's a distinction in humanity. You might not appreciate what we are doing now until you are at the crossroad and then you meet people who are globalists, universalists. There are people who are universalists in doctrine. And what they just say is all men are saved. There are also people who are at the extreme and tell you 144,000 people will be saved. And I asked someone one time, he came to me, I was in the battle, a challenge, and he said, only 144,000 will be saved. So I said, why are you not preaching? He said, how are you sure you are born of the 144? He said, he doesn't know. I himself is not sure. He himself is not sure that it's one of the 144. You are telling me. So wait. You that you are discipling me, if you are not sure, 144,000 my pillars to join now. Do you know how many people have crossed the face of this earth? There's no bother. There's no need to try. And how are you sure it's not complete? He was looking at me. I did not explain that one to you. In the kingdom hall. So they did not. So sit down. Sit down. So we started talking. And I showed him the scriptures. I think we were there for more than 8 hours. Man, 8 hours in front of a bank. If you don't come on here. We were done. He said, I have questions to go ask. Did that go be silly? Amen. You know. But the extreme is to say all men are saved. See, regardless of where we are, all children of God, as long as you breathe this air. I've heard that before. That in him we live, we move and have our being. That means everybody is saved. And that takes away the idea of believing in Christ for salvation. There's a doctrine like that. And it is false. Amen. And that's what we are doing now. Jesus is making a distinction in humanity. And even though every human is flesh, that which is born of flesh is flesh. But you see, there's a part of humanity who are born of the Spirit, just like Jacob, just like Isaac. See, making sense? Yeah? Just like the Ethan and the Jews. Those were types, symbolic though, to show you what God is doing, the wisdom of God in humanity. Is it making sense? So, there's a distinction in humanity. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Look at John chapter 8. So now you see why we say Bible study is not, it's not gaga. It's something you sit down, you learn over the years, you throw yourself into the deep end. Amen. Just throw yourself into it and say, well, let me see myself after 10 years. After 10 years, you will be wise enough to know that you need another 10. Amen. Then after 20, you say, the knowledge of your word is what I want. Amen. Aha. If Paul, at the end of his missionary journey, he said, that I may know you. Paul, that's half of the New Testament. Amen. Of the 27 books of the New Testament, Paul wrote 13. That's half of the New Testament on 2 feet. And he's saying, that I may know you and the power that snatched you from the grave. Then he shows us that there's a long journey in spiritual growth. In knowledge, there's a long journey. And that's why we sit down and learn. I mean, after 2 years of learning, you want to start church. To go and preach what? I'm a brother prophet. Am I twisted? Someone reported to us, was teaching that prophet. He not called it something. Shola, remind me, what the person call it? Language or something. Language of the apostles. So somebody say, he's teaching your teaching. I said, let him teach it. I just pray to God that we take time the way we are taking time. We are in series 6 of that prophet. 6, Abi. We are going to 6B. We are in series 6 and we started 2018. Right? That means in 7 years, we've taken all 6 of those teachings. And in between them, we sandwich them with salvation through faith in Christ, explaining God in Christ. Give me them. Give me those apologetic teachings. Eh? The hope of his calling. The riches of his glory. The exceeding greatness of his power. Eh? Children of promise. Uh-huh. You know, in between, we are just... And they are intentional to teach the other prophets. So if you are going to teach the other prophets, you have to calm down. And I've seen someone that jumped to series 4. Start from series 4. Jesus, which one is Jesus of Nazareth? Five? No, is it five? The Lord of hosts, I think the Lord of hosts is five. Jesus of Nazareth is four. I say, ni churchy, you know. But I say, Jesus of Nazareth. Go and listen. Jesus of Nazareth. I think the series four and Lord of hosts is series five. We're talking about the Lord of hosts and God fighting battles and all of that. And when it's not about the battle that you're thinking. It's not David and Goliath. Go and listen. So again, spiritual growth is painstakingly done. It's painstakingly done. I listened to my first grace teaching in 2003. Pastor Christo Akilome. And it's been a journey of spiritual growth since then. Different learning. That's 22 years now. I'm 16. Amen. I'm 16. But like, I've been listening since my mother's womb. So you need to sit down. Because you hear some doctrine, you just say, eh? Thank God for Glorious House Church. I'm telling you. You hear someone say, evil is mele wa. Your tongues that you are speaking kogi. How can your tongues be kogi? Ireo. In lembem. Is that your tongues? Your tongue is jebu. Rumoshio. No. There are people who sit down there. So again, why are we going, I'm explaining why we're going through all of this. It's not just, we like opening Bible. No. We like opening Bible, yes. But Bible study must be painstakingly done. You have to break the egg. Where are we? That's open to John 8. Verse 44. Verse 43 says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode on the truth. Look at that. Jesus talking to the Pharisees and he says, you are of your father, the devil. Do some of them have the same lineage as him? Eh? I'm hearing yes, I'm hearing no. Do some of them have the same forefathers as Jesus himself? And he said, you are of your father, the devil. Is that a distinction in humanity? Yes. That means not every human is God's human. So when you sing that song, I'm a man of God. You see that? That's a distinction in humanity. I'm a man of God. That is, I belong to God's side of the divide. So he says, you're of your father, the devil. That's a distinction in humanity. John 10, verse 13. The hireling flees because an hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Imagine. I know my sheep and I'm none of mine. As the father knows me, even so I know the father and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So he's talking about, of course, Gentile salvation. Is it making sense?
Uh-huh.
Is it making sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't want to tell you what people have said this is wrong. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must also bring. And they shall hear my voice. I hear his voice. And they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore, does my father love him because I lay down my life for the sheep. No man can take them away from me. Now look at verse 25. Then Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my father's name, and they bear witness of me. You believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. He said, you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. A distinction that not everyone is a sheep. In fact, he calls some goats. So there's a distinction in humanity. Jesus mentions two kinds of men. The sheep and the one that are not a sheep. And maybe as a side one, the one that is sheep, but no, they are not in the fold yet. Amen. That's verse 16. Alright. Where are we? John 10, Abby. Look at John 16.
I'm a father in his plan. I'm a man of God.
Let's have a look at John 14. Sorry. Verse 16. I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that I may abide with you forever. Can we verse 17 together, everybody? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. So, whom the world cannot receive. So he calls, there's a populace, he calls the world. And there's a populace he calls believers. He says, there's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they see him not, and they don't know him. But you see him, and you know him. a distinction, a clear distinction in the nature of humanity. Are you there? That John 17. We, some of you were around for the camp meeting we had some years ago, north of the world. Ooh, that's few. Wow. Not of the world. Right? I'm not of the world. I'm not of the world. I am. What's the song? What's the beginning? Father. I thought it was better not go. The spirit in me marks me. What did I say? What did you say? Marks, okay. The spirit in me marks me out of the world, right? Glorify the Father of glory. Spirit in me tells me I'm not of the world. Good. John 17. Verse 14. I've given them your word and the world hates them. Because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Now, he is talking about people, his own disciples. So I've given them your word. And the world hates them. Sorry, who is the world? That means there is a sect. There is a part of humanity that have not received. They are not on Jesus' part. On Jesus' side. Is it making sense? I've given them your word. And the world hates them. Because they are not of the world. Because they are not of the world. Even as I'm not of the world. I pray that you should not take them out of the world. But I should keep them from evil. Can we read 16 together? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. I'm not of the world. Right, so that Jesus makes a distinction in humanity. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So you can't say everybody is God's child. No. Who is not the world? Everybody is God's son. Who is not the Ethan? The Ethan rage. The people imagine a vain thing. Who is the eating? So that distinction in humanity is theological. I don't want to pick into the epistles yet, so that's why we're stopping the book of John. But let me show you one in Ephesians 2. So we'll pick the epistles later. The distinction is clear for all and sundry. Why you might not see a lot in the epistles is because the epistles are already written to the Isaacs, to the Jacobs. Is it making sense? So I belong to God. I'm a man of God. So when we say man of God, sometimes what people think is pastor. In this instance, what we're saying is, I'm a man of God. You get that? I'm a man of God. That means I'm born of His Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Ephesians 2. Oh, I'm a man of God. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember, verse 11. Remember, you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Can we verse 12 together? That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off, and made near. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made, has broken down the middle wall of partition. So what does the blood of Jesus do? He brings a man from Esau to Jacob. He brings a man from Ishmael to, that's what the blood does. That's what Paul will say in, that what Jesus told him to do in Acts 26, as I close, pray for me. That what Jesus told him, in Acts 26, verse 17. Delivering thee from people and from Gentiles, whom I now send you. Verse 18 says, to open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. So, that means, listen, you cannot excuse that there are some people in darkness. So when you say, who is teaching among the hopeless? You saw that in Ephesians 2, Abby. Without hope and without God in the world. It is not an abuse to say, the hopeless. The scripture recognizes Ishmael as hopeless. Paint it anyhow. The hope of God's calling is Isaac's. Is it making sense? The riches of God's glory was found in Jacob. Esau had nothing. When he came to Isaac and he said, even if it's small blessing, give me. Isaac said, your brother has taken it. The dew of heaven is upon his head. The harvest of the fields is for him. He has it all. So God has two kinds of men. The distinction in humanity did not start with Paul. Is it making sense? God has always classified human. And the middle wall of partition is broken by the blood of Jesus. So, when Paul says, there is a natural man, and then there's a spiritual man, it should not sound to us like heresy. And say, why would he be classifying people? Why would he say there's a natural man? No. That classification in humanity has been since Genesis. Are you listening to me? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's a classification. Look at that. So it says to turn them from darkness to light. So are there humans or is there an humanity in darkness? And is there an humanity in light? Huh? Where are you? You sure? Are you sure? I'm in the light. As he is in the light. I walk in the light. As he is in the light. I'm in the light. Always in the light. Ooh. I'm in the light. Oh, I'm in the light. Always in the light. Always in the light. Oh, I'm a man of God. You see, in that distinction, I'm a man of God. Born of his spirit. Full of his glory. I'm born of his spirit. I'm born of his spirit. I'm a man of God. It is to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. You cannot say there's not the humanity under the power of Satan. Oh, is a fresh guy under the power of Satan. It's his skin like milk. Ah, under the power of Satan. Though that can answer. It's in under the power of Satan. Amen. See, the eyes don't see these things. It's a humanity under the power of Satan. Say, but Paul, your job is to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me. Amen. So the blood of Jesus opens the door to God's Isaac. So in humanity, there's Ishmael, there's Isaac. Looks like they are both children of Abraham. They both have the same skin color. Belong to the same continent. Have got the same precedent. Right? But there's the Ishmael of God. And there's the Isaac of God. God told Richard, two nations. Two nations. One will serve another. Two manners of people. Paul will come in 1 Corinthians 2. Says there is a natural man. So, Paul's natural man is not coined out of nowhere. See many sense why we went through all of that. Man. It's not coined out of nowhere. It's at a theological base point. That's theological standing since Genesis. That God has two kinds of men. Of course, his umbrella is open to all. But as long as the sun rises and it sets, there's an humanity in darkness, alienated from the power of God, from the commonwealth of Israel, from the promise. Without hope, without God. And then there's God's Isaac. There's God's Jacob. Of whom belong the law, the promises, the covenant, the mercies. And you